So we have these powerful reasons why listening is so vital to connection, trust, and creating a sense of belonging, attachment, and loyalty that I've been describing over the last few weeks. And you're all waiting patiently for the methods. What on earth are the methods to a good interview, you ask? Well, allow me a moment to emphasize that if I gave you the methods today and you followed them to a T, it would be most likely experienced by the interviewee or anyone you're listening to as a gimmick. It would feel unnatural, contrived, and manipulative. Now, a person may not even consciously consider how they feel about it or even think what I've just described to you, but probability is high that they would experience it like any other interview. And that's the problem. You don't want to come across as offering what every other interview has to offer. You want to offer an experience that stands out as considerably different than anything they have experienced in an interview. But how do you do this? It begins with something far more important than methods. It hinges upon what your primary objective is in going into the interview. That is the single most important factor to get straight every time you interview a new candidate, or if you want to lead well in many other camp conversations, that's the objective. So, I mean, it's the objective you want to focus on. So what is the objective? Your objective must be, drum roll please, the interviewee must experience authentic interest and concern that you have for who they are, why they're there, and what they want. Quick side note, most people don't even know the answers to those questions, but you can help them get there, and that's pretty cool. But anyway, getting this objective right is vital to taking the first step in building a sense of trust, safety, honesty, and collaboration, which can soon develop into further things like attachment and loyalty. What might be some competing hidden objectives? Quickly assessing if you like them is another objective. Trying to sell them on the role, trying to navigate, negative sell them on the role, trying to impress them. I don't know. There's many. When I began building my practice, my clinical psychology practice in 1987, I needed patients in order to pay the rent, feed my children, survive, to build my practice. I noticed pretty quickly that my interviewing and assessment during the first interview with the patients had morphed into something very different than my interviewing in my previous residency and internships, where I had at least a stipend that was regular, you know, each month. I was beginning to feel like my objective had changed to secretly selling my services rather than understanding the patient and their agenda first, like I had in the internships and residency. This was a big mistake. And only when I course corrected did my practice begin to grow quickly and naturally. Before you sit down to do your next four interviews, give this a chance. Remind yourself of your primary objective, for them to leave feeling understood. Because if you do that, it doesn't really matter what methods you use to get there. You've built a connection that I promise you is very rare, but is also very right.